I just realized I forgot to do something that Linnell hates. Matt, do you have any guesses as to what it is?
Show tweet.
Bam. I realized
you don't forget to put out a show tweet on Social Security Tuesdays.
Social Security Tuesdays.
Uh huh. doesn't slip your mind then, does it?
You actually made me laugh there for a change instead of infuriated. That's interesting. Social Security Tuesdays. I like it.
You all, I just want to let all the fans out there know. You all won't have me for much longer if Trent Scott continues to play at the level he's playing at. Because I will personally walk my ass to Ashburn and ask for a tryout. They could use me in some form or fashion.
Yeah, of course they
could.
You
want to talk about inside, outside, pass rush versatility?
I mean, somebody who hasn't played football in 4 years, right? 5 years, whatever it is.
It's been a long time.
I mean, we could just plug and play, right? I just thought of the perfect thing.
Wait, but Chris, didn't you just get dropped from a practice squad literally like yesterday?
You know, that is true.
You got cut yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Damn. Yeah, by the Green Bay Packers. In exchange for Jamin Davis, right? So I was released.
So did he go claimed off waivers or no?
No, he wasn't claimed on waivers. He was cut a week ago.
I'm saying
he was assigned to the practice squad.
I'm stunned that he wasn't claimed off
waivers.
But
if I can, now that I'm a free agent, mm-hmm. right? You've been a free agent. Nobody's wanted your ass for the last 4 or 5 years, right? So you could just waltz right into Ashburn, right? And say, show up on AP's desk. You know, like how Dan Snyder dropped the vat of vanilla ice cream on, who was it? The defensive, Mike Nolan's desk one time, right? Because he didn't like vanilla. I told you I didn't like vanilla. You could just sit down right on AP's desk and say, here I am. Ass cheeks and all. Yeah. Let's go, baby. Strap it up. Put a jock strap on. I can play left tackle better than that guy. One thing I got to say about Trent Scott, he was terrible. He was terrible on Sunday. Does have a touchdown.
He does have a touchdown.
Yeah.
This is my thing about Trent Scott. One, he's not overly big. So, like, there's not some sort of, like, strength piece of it with him. And then he is, like, he just doesn't look like an athlete out there. He's the smallest 6'5 guy I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
To be listed at 6'5, 320, it ain't no damn way. It was one of my big gripes coming out of camp when the 53 was released. They cut Braydon Daniels over him.
Yeah.
I would much rather have Braydon Daniels.
And to my knowledge, Daniels hasn't caught on with somebody.
Braydon Daniels on the Chiefs.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Unless I'm tripping. I think he's
because
on the Chiefs practice squad.
Yesterday they cut your guy from Howard and they brought
I don't know how they cut Aneem. Aneem walks in looking like a better athlete than Trent Scott.
He's 6'7, 6'8, right? And they saw.
But they got Bobby Hart.
Bobby Hart was with Bobby Johnson in New York. Exactly. So, I mean, at least they have that as an option.
He may have been with him in New York and Buffalo.
Yes. I think, are correct. And that kind of leads us, and we'll get back to the calls, and we'll talk about D.C. as a sports town, whatever. That kind of leads us into the red zone, you know, issues, because
I can't wait to hear what you have to say on this, because I think it's been the most hyperbolized topic.
Well, see, what I don't do is, it's one reason and one reason it's alone not, radio.
Thank you. And I'm
which you do all the time.
Well, for this individual... Because in some fashions, it just is.
I am the Messiah.
Well, I am. But no, in some aspects, whether you want to believe it or not, I think sometimes it is a one-reason thing for some of the ailments of the team. But like with the red zone stuff, I see people pointing fingers everywhere. It's the one time where I think we're both right. I think the players deserve a lion's share of the blame. I think Cliff deserves a lion's share of the blame. But when you go look at the numbers for Washington in the red zone, just from Sunday alone, my big gripe is, well, I think they should run it more. 7 runs, 4 passes in the red zone this past weekend.
Right.
I think the execution was just poor. And I think it goes to a bigger problem that I actually mentioned to you on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain... While the hurry-up offense stuff has been great, it hurts them in some areas because Jaden, I would love to know or have Jaden wired for sound, he'd be cussing Cliff Kingsbury's ass out for not getting the play in time. It happens each and every week. And I don't know how much they're struggling getting the right personnel on the field in some of these red zone situations.
Where they've had to use some timeouts.
Where they've had to use time, which is going to come back and bite them.
Well, it already has.
On Sunday, it should have been.
There was one play, though, and I can't remember if it was in the red zone or not.
They got screwed by a penalty. Like.
Right, but there was one play. I think it was in the red zone, but I'd have to go back and watch it again, where there was all sorts of miscommunication, and Jaden got popped for a sack.
Mm-hmm. Ramontez Sweat ducks inside.
Montez got
lucky. That's a 1% play.
Right. But I think where there was a it was where Jaden's approaching the line of scrimmage from shotgun after he communicates with the running back and Biotta snaps it as he's
communicating. Guess who's at fault? Trent Scott.
Well, so I guess what I'm saying is, right, there's little things that are still going wrong. And maybe it's too much to ask teams even week 8 to be perfect, right? Yeah. I mean, we know the game is played by human beings.
Right. It's never going to be perfect, but I think they do got to clean some stuff up. I don't know. It's every week. It's every week they're having to burn timeouts.
That's been a problem since week 1.
Jaden's getting annoyed with Cliff about I don't know who is it on. Is it on Cliff?
I don't know.
Because Jaden.
Well, remember the communication to the headset cuts off at 15 seconds, right? So if Cliff is late in any sort of way of getting the play call in his mind decided, and then if it's extra wordy, and some calls are going to be more wordy than others.
Their offense, they've tried to simplify. I think they have a play called like Taylor Swift. They've tried to simplify their offense.
But what I'm saying is sometimes, like I remember this from a young Sean McVay, okay? When Sean was the offensive coordinator here, and he was running Jay's system, but Sean had a lot of input into it. And then when Jay started allowing, and this was late 2014, if memory serves me correct, Sean to actually start calling plays, there was a lot of issues back and forth with the quarterbacks and Sean because a lot of times the play call was getting cut off in the headset, right? Because it was too wordy, and because sometimes it takes these guys, you know, and this is what...
Find it on your menu.
Right. This is where I go to, hey, you know, instead of blaming the coaches for everything, let's look at it and say, okay, it could be the coach, it could be the player, it could be miscommunication, whatever. Like, there's a lot of things that go on in a football game. And perfect example is the play that I was talking about, red zone or not. Again, Jaden is walking up towards the line of scrimmage, right? He's trying to bark out commands after communicating an exchange of communication, I think, to the running back, or maybe it was to the wide receiver. I can't remember. Yeah. Maybe it was that. And Biotish hears something, and Tony Romo even pointed it out on the broadcast. As soon as you hear,
the second color.
Yeah. Whatever it is, right? Be honest, just, you know. So, again, miscommunication happens. There is no doubt that they, I think, got away from their breath. Like, if you think about how they ran the ball on that first drive, they always come out and they run the ball all over everybody.
And don't,
they kind of get cute and get away from it.
Their first 15, I think, has a lot of running plays in it. I think I counted on Sunday, though, there were 15 straight plays where Brian Robinson didn't touch the football.
And that was another thing that stood out to me. I kept saying to Grant and Craig, where's P-Rob? Like, Eckler was getting the ball all the time, you know? They were throwing. Now, the other part of this is there were a couple of drops, right? Austin Eckler had a drop right at the 5-yard line. Zach Ertz, even though I thought it was a good challenge, even though Gene Steratore and Tony Romo both thought on the call, on the CBS call, it was a touchdown.
It was a touchdown.
I thought it was a touchdown. Dan Quinn thought it was a touchdown. You think it was a touchdown. Yeah. I still don't know why they reversed that or why they didn't call it a touchdown. And that's probably why they didn't reverse it, is because of the call made on the field, which was, as I determined it, a bad call on the field. Okay? That doesn't mean we should stay with it just because it's a bad call on the field. And that's the problem with the replay system amongst many. But then the other problem also becomes, in addition to drops, we know this. Listen. I went back and I watched just before you got here today, the Alameda Zacchaeus you know, I don't know if it's a flare screen or whatever it is.
Touchdown.
Right, the touchdown. But I mean, I mean, it's not a true. It's not like a lateral screen. It's almost like a.
It's a tunnel screen.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as a tunnel screen, but whatever. Like Sam Cosmi gets called for that penalty. Sam Cosmi slightly downfield, and I think in the spirit of the letter of the rule, he was in violation. He had nothing to do with that play.
They need to change the rule.
Please start calling fouls that actually happen and impact affect the play.
I agree with you 100%. They need to go back and change the language of the rule because the rule's dumb.
I agree.
If a guy is downfield and it's not impacting the play, it shouldn't be a penalty.
They would argue the competition committee, the NFL, referees, what have you. Well, we can't individually meter out, you know, that, you know, like, for instance, there's plenty of times like you'll see a third down incompletion, right? The ball go to this receiver, that corner plays it perfect, but there's holding on the other side of the field. Right. And then they say, well, either it's holding or it's not, right? So I do understand some of that.
But, Chris,
but my point is, if in a play, in a situation like that, just swallow the bleeping flag, for God's sakes. It has nothing to do with anything.
But it's almost similar to me to when pass interference gets overruled because the ball is non-catchable. That's the type of, like, that to me is the similar instance with the illegal man downfield. It's so bad. And you pointed it out, like, that to me was my big point. It has nothing to do with the play.
Right.
And in reality, like, ever since the RPO has been introduced to the NFL.
It's been a problem.
Yeah. Do they call that in college?
Nope. No, I don't. I mean, I watch college football all the time. I don't remember it being called as much.
It's frustrating. It honestly is.
Clearly there's an emphasis on that rule this year. So you know it's going to be more, and the only way they can correct the behavior is by calling more of it. But think about it. The Commanders had not only the touchdown to OZ called back, and by the way, OZ struggled a little bit punt return-wise.
Something
to, you know, watch out for. But not only that, but also the drop by Zach Ertz, but also the illegal man downfield on Allegretti, which wiped out Diami Brown on a true tunnel, not a tunnel screen, on a true screen, wide receiver screen, maybe like a stagger screen, that got the ball all the way down inside the five. Now, they got field goals on all of these possessions, but if we're talking about red zone, right? Again, I do not think there was one thing that jumped out to me and said, oh, like in the Giants game in week two, you would say it was mostly penalties, miscommunication, remember all the some of the cadence issues that they were having, and by the way, players backed that up, that they were having, you know, communication and cadence issues. So I'm willing to kind of like almost leave that alone, but this was a variety of not running the ball effectively, going away from B-Rob, a couple of drops, Eckler, Ertz, even though, again, I don't consider Ertz a drop, but the Ertz touchdown that was taken off the board, the Eckler drop, the two big plays, one to OZ, which did wipe out a touchdown on Cosby's illegal mitt, the play we were just talking about with Diami Brown and Allegretti. So I guess I would ask you this, and we'll get back to the calls in just a little bit. Just hang on, guys. I guess I would ask you this. Is it better to have six or seven issues to clean up, or would you rather it just be one issue? And that's kind of the concerning part to me is it's much harder to clean up six or seven issues, six or seven things that went wrong as opposed to one. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's ever, like you like to say, it's rarely just one issue. I think the red zone stuff is fluky. I wouldn't categorize this as a red zone offense that struggles.
I would agree with that.
So like that's
they struggled
we,
in two wins at home.
They struggled in two wins at home. So we got to get away from that because when you look at their splits offensively in the red zone, they are damn good.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're fifth in red zone touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's the one area they do struggle in the red zone is yards per play. I guess they're toward the bottom of the league. But like, yeah, man, like they're red zone offense. I don't like why this is not giving me the number that I want.
Overall, they're 24th according to NFL GSIS in red zone touchdown conversions at 51.4%. They're 24th, so that's not good. But how much of that is the 7 field goals they had to kick against the Giants and the 4 field goals that came inside. You know, we're talking about 11 possessions there.
Yeah.
Again, is that just a 2-game small sample size and not a lot to see here? Or is that something that, hey, against, and I can't call the Giants a great defense. The Bears aren't a great defense either, but they're a fairly good defense. I think the Giants are a better defense than most people give them credit for, and they've hung around in some games and whatever. So I would say against 2 fairly good defenses, they have struggled miserably at home in the red zone. And that's weird, too, at home. Right? You would think if you're going to struggle, it would be on the road with crowd noise and so on. But, you know, Cosme, I think it was Cosme that told me, or maybe it was another offensive lineman. No, it was Cosme. When he came on the week after that, before the Cincinnati game, he's like, you know, and some of the other offense, early on in the year, it was almost like it was a road game.
Yeah.
In the red zone. Now it's getting better.
That's true.
Right? Now it's getting better.
Yeah, I just don't think there's much to see. I think the bigger issue is against the 2 best defenses you've played this year, Chicago and Baltimore, Cliff Kingsbury has gotten away from the run game at a critical juncture of the game.
I think that's fair.
And to me, like that can't happen. And it's not about just run the damn ball. It's not at all what it's about. Their success that they're having running the ball on first and second down is the reason they're 4th in the NFL in third down conversion rate, because they are rarely in these third and long situations. Cliff has his entire play calling menu at his disposal on third down most of the time.
Yeah, when you're 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, it's
that's where they've thrived at. So I think that's why, to me, the running game is so important, because they were in 3rd and long a decent amount. Even this, I'm pulled it up now. I'm in the second half. Like the incompletion to Zach Ertz over the middle, where the ball was high.
Mm-hmm.
Ertz should have caught the ball.
Yeah.
But you were in 3rd and 3.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
Yeah.
Like that, and I understand you're backed up.
3rd and 3 is not just an automatic run the ball.
It's not, but when you had 5 and 2 the game before on the 2 games prior, I'd say run it all 3 downs.
Right.
Like make them stop it. I thought maybe, and I don't know, maybe they don't like their matchups on the interior against Baltimore and against Chicago. Because Billings gave them the blues a couple of snaps.
Yes, he did.
Matabuke and Travis Jones ruined the game at times against Baltimore. Yes, so it's hard to run against certain personnel groupings. But, like, man, you gotta just say it's my big guys.
But, you know, they ran the ball right at Dexter Lawrence in week 2.
And had no issues.
Yeah. Now, in the red zone, a little bit of an issue. Up. But, you know, so, again, there is different.
I want to see more of the direct snap stuff, too. I would like to see that again.
Let's hold on to that, because I do want to touch on a couple of things. And I wanted to ask you about maybe a way to spring it loose this Sunday. And then we'll get back to the calls. Just wanted to get into the red zone conversation, because it is so important. I've got another number for you that will illustrate, again, some of the problems overall. But again, is it just a 2-game sample size? And that's really it. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so we mentioned
your damn theme song. Not the sharpest
this
tool.
Song?
I'm not the sharpest tool in the barn.
Oh, I thought you were talking about All-Star, because I am an All-Star.
No, you're not the sharpest tool in the shed. You're like a butter knife, and I'm like a steak knife.
Please. You know what my guy Tyler is? His stepdad is a Cutco knife salesman.
Oh, I've been down that road.
Tyler is like an assistant
Cutco man.
Cutco salesman.
I mean, knife specialist.
He talks to everybody about buying knives from his stepdad.
I would say this: if you're trying to sell some knives, having Ty guy, which is boost your sales.
Which reminds me, I'm wearing my Best Buddy shirt. People,
you know, that
should,
Best Buddy shirt's getting a little looser on you, buddy.
The last month has been rough on your boy.
It was feeling
great. The last month has been rough on your boy. By the way, go to bestbuddieshomecoming.org right now to bid on some awesome sports memorabilia.
Can I have something put up there? Do people want to buy bid off of
What do they want to do? Bit off of a shirt that says that says Exotic Smash Mouth Football created by the Titans? Borrowed by Liddell.
Just shout out the best buddies. But damn, that's bad. Okay.
Anyway, all right, here's the number I wanted to throw. I mentioned they're 51.4 in terms of converting red zone opportunities to touchdowns, right? So just over 50%. 24th in the league. They're 70%, tied for 19th in goal to go, meaning converting.
Yeah, that's the other number I was looking at.
Touchdowns into goal to go. Generally,
it feels like they're much better in goal to go.
Yes and no.
From watching it, I was surprised that the number was that low because it feels like every time they're in goal to go.
Do you know who the number one team is?
In goal to go?
They're perfect.
Oh, they probably don't get there a lot.
Maybe.
It's probably a terrible-ass team, isn't it?
It's not.
Who?
It's a team that actually scored a goal-to-go touchdown against the Washington Commanders earlier this year.
Oh, so you're talking about the New York Giants.
No, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, they're weird.
They are perfect in goal-to-go situations. The Philadelphia Eagles, who are the opponent a couple of weeks from now on a Thursday night, your birthday, as we referenced, are number two. Detroit, number three. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Denver, number four. The Commanders are number 19. So here's the
deal. Those numbers kind of skew because if you don't get there,
understood.
Your number's going to be higher.
We can throw analytics for you. We can throw statistics for you, what have you. You would agree with me that there isn't one right now obvious, clear thing that jumps out and says, well, if they just fix this, it's going to be all better.
But I guess technically mistakes.
Okay.
Self-inflicted
wounds. But that's generic, right? For a lot of things. That could be drops.
Okay.
But would you agree with me this? If they could get from, what did we say, 19th and goal to goal, if they could get to 13th or 14th and goal to go, if they are 24th in red zone, meaning in the league, right, at just over 51%, if they could get to, I don't know, 55 or 56%, which would probably put them in the middle of the pack because the top, I think, is 59%. 11th. Top is 75%, Baltimore, not a surprise. If they could get, all right, let me readjust. If they could get to 60%, which is a meteoric jump, that would put them in the top, like right around the top 10 category, right? Because number 11 is 59.09%. So let's just, again, that's a
numbers
huge jump. But if they could get to that, they would be absolutely unstoppable.
I think they already are unstoppable.
They're not, though. You can't be considered unstoppable.
Themselves.
Yeah, I know, but that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I think
I'm saying if you can fix that.
Yeah, I don't think their red zone problems have. They got to just continue to self scout. I also think the play calling should be a little bit more sexy down there.
All right, let me ask you this one last one, and then we'll take the timeout for the bottom of the hour, and then we'll get back to the calls. One of my favorite plays all year was 4th and 2 from the 9-yard line. I want to say against Cleveland early on, an Austin Ekeler jet sweep. Handoff
around the
little pop handoff around the edge, and he went from left to right and he cut it. I haven't seen enough. I've seen plenty of jet motion. I've seen plenty of shifting. I've seen plenty of creative. Like the other day, they ran Olamide Zaccheaus was to the right of Jaden Daniels, basically on the same line, and they ran a cross face play action to Olamide, and they had a receiver running from left to right across the formation, and they did a little pop pass Ekeler. It got blown up for like 2 yards. But I hadn't seen that play before. I don't remember that play. To me, that's where I want to see more creative play calling and play design and play formations in the red zone where space is compressed and limited. Is that fair?
Yeah, I agree. That's what if we're going to say the problem, I would say maybe lack of creativity, but they're just not. They're not executing down there at a high enough rate. I don't know. I don't I was going to say, well, are you not running it enough? But the run pass splits on Sunday were 7-4 down there. So like, you can't really complain about that. I think I would have, if I'm saying anything, maybe a lack of creativity. Like,
well, that's kind of feeds into what I'm talking about. They're creative everywhere else. Why are they less creative down there? I mean, am I making that up?
No,
I don't see as much. And when I've seen creativity, it's been successful.
Like the play where, you know, they dummy snap and then Jaden goes behind the left guard and Brian Robinson goes behind the center.
You don't want to out fancy yourself all the time. You don't have to do it all with smoke and mirrors.
I don't think they're running enough read option down there either.
That's another one.
I would be running Jaden in the red zone.
How about a spread formation, 4 and 5 receivers, which we've seen plenty of.
And a quarterback draw.
That scares Sonny Jurgensen used to always.
I don't want Jaden running in between the tackles.
I know we got to run. And I don't want to do a lot of those kind of runs to Jaden Daniels, but in the red zone, in goal to go, especially say inside the 5, I want to spread the formation 4-5 receivers, and I want to occasionally have Jaden pick whatever hole opens up for him and reads it on a quarterback draw. Meaning, as soon as he gets the snap from pistol, from gun, boom. Right, and he's reading it as he's approaching and reading the line of scrimmage. Sonny Jurgensen used to call for the quarterback design draw every time the Commanders, then the Redskins, would get inside the 10.
It only works with
less mobile guys, but Robert specifically.
Yeah. Kirk was the master at it. Yeah, I feel like Kirk had a lot. Colt had a lot.
Yes. But he would call for it all the time. And I think that was a big part of Lamar's game early on in his development was in the red zone, teams were scared to death of him because they knew he could break you down on quarterback draws and design runs.
Also, this is also where it hurts them not having a premier weapon on the perimeter that could just go win.
That would be nice, too. 301-230-0980. We'll get back to your calls. I know a bunch of you are hanging on. We got to get to you. I didn't realize there were that many. But, you know, it takes time to deliver good information and analysis. That's going to piss some people off. I don't really care. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Commanders wrapping up the practice day today in Ashburn. As we told you about Brandon Coleman returning, Jaden Daniels was expected to practice on a limited basis, but no Cornelius Lucas. They visit the New York Giants, who they already beat, as we've mentioned here in week 2. It looks like both Daniel Jones and Deontay Banks, the Maryland product, both going to remain as starters, according to Brian Daboll, barring a change. The Jets putting place kicker Greg Zuerlein on IR. They've signed Riley Patterson, who was here for a cup of coffee, and another kicker, both to the practice squad, and presumably they'll elevate one or the other for tomorrow night's Thursday night game. How about this one? Jameson Williams' off-field problems continue. Now prosecutors are reviewing a warrant request for Jameson Williams on a concealed weapons charge. He was already facing and in the midst of a 2-game suspension for performance enhancing problems. He was suspended last year for gambling and now facing an issue when it comes to Detroit police, when it comes to, again, a concealed weapons charge. The Capitals with a big win last night against the New York Rangers. They host the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night, but a big injury in the NHL just coming across. Connor McDavid, the best player in the game by far, was going to miss 2 to 3 weeks for the defending Western Conference champion Edmonton Oilers with an ankle injury. And that's what's trending. All right, so I think a good breakdown of what's going on inside the red zone for this team, if you don't think it's important, you're not paying attention. I think, of course, it is important. It will be important, especially as you go. Look, the Giants are a fairly good defense. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a really good defense. And the Eagles are getting better on defense. And that's your next 3 opponents. Red zone issues are right now the number one thing holding this team back. If you could say they're being held back at 6-2.
We're 6-2.
Right. I'm not saying that they would be 7-1. I'm not saying that, but But there were a couple. I mean, maybe they would be.
No,
right?
They would.
There were a couple of possessions in that Baltimore game, right?
Yep, I agree.
You know, so let's get back to it on the phones and get you guys aboard. Let's go to our guy. He's been on hold forever.
Is this Austin?
Linnell's worst nightmare. Athens and Annapolis, AA.
What?
Hey guys, how's our favorite brand guy doing today in studio? How's your brand going this week, Linnell?
Well, the brand is continuing to grow thanks to, you know, folks like you.
He's doing great, Athan. I don't think he was listening yesterday when I had a good laugh and AA remembers this, when I had a good laugh at you thanking Doc at your show on Thursday night in Largo, when you thanked Doc for helping your brand grow.
He did? No, I was being dead ass serious, though.
I know you were. And I was like, instead of just thanking him for being awesome and being a great mentor, whatever, which you did. But the part that stood out to me, made me laugh, was when you said for assisting with your brand.
It's real.
And I'm like, oh my God, I'm living in the wrong world. I'm just living in the wrong world.
And his name was like Longfellow Tibwad or something.
His name was like, that's stupid Greg Giannotti.
Hey, Big Willie, keep selling steak knives. Just stick to that. Your brand might grow a little bit. But.
Wow, everyone's done Cutco.
Here's the thing. I will say that as far as what you guys were talking about earlier, it's about an 8 mm-hmm. in the DMV for the sports teams, because as the Capitals continue to get back to hopefully where they were, and the Nats, all their prospects come up and hopefully they get back to where they were, the Redskins count is extra because it just elevates you to a whole nother level. Everybody wants to talk about football because we're all junkies for it. I mean, look at Linnell and Toby's reaction. Just that's one of a million that happened on Sunday, and I actually got to be there on the escalator to hear it happen, not escalator. See it happen.
Well, yeah.
But
I mean, you're never going to live that down, my friend. I mean, I appreciate that you joined the Russell movement. Some might refer to it as a bowel movement. I prefer, you know, the ROIC, the Russell Oldest in Charge movement. I appreciate that, but that movement from you, from your club seat, which you paid a pretty penny for, to the escalators and not seeing Hail Mary. Oh, that is a move that I don't know if you're going to ever regret. I mean, ever live down.
Well, you know, I've been to hundreds of football games, and I've seen the disasters out there. So, you know, there will with Jaden, there's going to be a lot more great moments. So hopefully they'll be in the playoffs. But let me just finish with this. You know, Chris, you mentioned that you get criticized on Twitter for people that, you know, don't like the show or don't like you or whatever. Well, to all your critics out there, okay, then don't listen to the show. Don't call in. Don't be the guy from Owings Mills last week who called in and made an ass of himself, okay? The Chris Russell Show is the varsity of radio, okay? And if you don't like it and you're not a primetime player, then don't call in. You want to sit here and criticize my guy? Because he's the one with the show, not all the people who call in to taunt you and make fun of you and whatever the case may be. So if you don't like the show, don't call in. He's the big leagues. Chris, just like back in the 90s when they used to say, like, those T-shirts like football is life and the rest is just details. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like weightlifting is life, wrestling mm-hmm. is life, the rest is just details. Well, you know what? The Chris Russell Show in the DMV is a sport talks radio of life, and everyone else is just details. Mic drop. Boom.
AA.
Wow.
Coming to the house. Appreciate you, brother.
Wow.
I wonder who AA was pointing a finger at. There are some sharp critics of this show. One of them might be on hold. Let's get to Kevin in Virginia next up on the Team 980. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm not one of your critics. I love your show.
I know. I appreciate Kevin, you, Kevin.
Kevin's one of my critics, though.
Well, that Kevin, that's perfectly allowed. That's perfectly allowed.
What's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, a couple of boring questions about special teams. Could you clarify for me these kickoff rules? On the last kickoff return before the Hail Mary, I think it was Zacchaeus who ran it out, and I was screaming, don't run it out, you're going to waste time. Was he on the one-yard line? I mean, did he have to run that out?
I think it was Eckler caught it.
Or did
It was Eckler. He did. I think he took it out of the end zone.
I'm trying to remember now where exactly he was. I'm trying to look it up, and I can't remember.
It was like 8 seconds he lost on that play, and I wasn't sure what the rules were. If he would have caught it in the end zone, they would have gotten it to 25, right? Or the 30.
At the 30, right, because it's outside of the landing zone. I'm trying to pull up the official NFL GSIS. So they're listing it as at the Washington zero, meaning at the goal line. So he and I didn't pick up on this, so he had to have thought that he was, I guess, too far out and therefore in the landing zone. Yeah. Again, maybe that's a misperception. Maybe that's a judgment issue. But you're right. There is a big difference between catching it at the one and catching it outside of the landing zone but in the end zone. And it absolutely does take time, because if you think about it, right, the Roschon Johnson touchdown was run with 27 seconds left. Then the two-point conversion, which is an untimed down. And then by the time the Commanders start that final series, there's 19 seconds left. So, again, 8 seconds. Yeah, you're right. But, again, I would have to go back and match up the video. They're listing it as at the zero is where he caught it. So,
well, I was scratching my head a little. I almost turned off the TV thinking, well, they don't have any time left after that. My second question is, Siebert has been money inside 40, but there's going to be a game where we're going to need a 55-yard field goal to win it, and there are teams that have field goal kickers that can do that. And I know you trade off the accuracy for Siebert 40 in. He's great, but he just doesn't have the leg beyond 50 yards. How does that change the strategy for the Commanders in close – like, say they're in Philly and they're 55-yard field goal to win it.
So what
are they going to do?
Here's my theory, right? The other one, the other day, I think he kicks the ground.
Yeah, it didn't even get blocked.
Right, he kicks the ground, right? Because it looked low as a trajectory, one. The other one was, like, I think a 52-yard block right before halftime in Baltimore, if memory serves me correct. But that was, like, a normal – he's hit two or three plus 45ers. No, I don't really –
because I don't know how far he can actually kick.
I think he can kick – like, if it's a clean operation, I would believe in him 48 to 52.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would go 55 to 60, but the good news is this team's so good on fourth down that
we got to be in those situations though too. I mean, I know, fourth and short. I get you.
And here's the problem though. I would rather almost in today's game go for it on fourth and inches, fourth and one. If we're talking about a 50, let's just call it a 50 to 55 yard field goal with Austin Seibert, I would almost rather go for it there, because if you miss it, not only are you missing it, but you're also giving up an extra free 7 yards. Whereas if you don't get it, as long as you're not getting sacked, meaning, you know, like it gets blown up, that's like true, the screen by St. Juice the other day, or it gets blown up on a run. As long as you're not getting sacked on fourth and inches or fourth and one, I'd almost rather go for it if it's in that range for Seibert. It's a good question, though, because, you know, you do wonder when it's going to catch up. Appreciate you, Kev. Thank you. Let's squeeze in one more here, and then we'll take a quick timeout. Kai is in D.C. What's up, Kai? How are you?
Kai.
How you guys doing?
All right, Kai. Thank you, bro.
I had a disagreement with you guys when you guys were saying that when Cosby went down the field, they should take that penalty out. Mm-hmm. But it'd be other penalties like hands to the face that don't affect the play and gives teams first down. Like, we use that plenty of time. That happened to us plenty of times. So I disagree with you guys about taking that penalty, like a penalty that doesn't affect the play out.
You're talking about hands to the face play. Away from the play, though, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, we did bring. I mean, we did bring up, and it's a fair point. We did bring up like defensive holding away from the play. I guess the only way I would say I could justify that in that case is, you know, if somebody holds or if hands to the face or whatever. On the opposite side of where the strong side of the play, you could say, hey, wait a second, in terms of a route by a receiver, if it's holding, for argument's sake, you could say, well, that player was taken out of the formation, so that would have been another option. In this particular case, Sam Cosmi, and I believe also, if I remember correctly, Nick Allegretti, are not really even touching any. I mean, it's not like they're blocking anybody.
Yeah.
Cosmi, for sure, on the Zacchaeus one, he is not blocking or engaged with anyone.
Nobody.
So but that's to me a little bit
better.
Different.
He's got
to
be better. That's all I'm saying. He's got to be better, stay in this position. And then my second thing is about the games that's coming up. I just watched Pittsburgh. They let Tracy run all over them. So if Cliff can stick to the run, all these teams we're playing, we just need to run more than pass. And then our line is getting hurt. So I really think we just need to run more than pass because everybody is susceptible. You know what I'm saying?
Susceptible. No, you're absolutely right. I was thinking the same thing. And by the way, thank you, Kai. Appreciate it. Good call. You were on Tyrone. No, that was the Jets. That was the Jets duo because you went up there. I liked what I saw to Tyrone Tracy in training camp because I watched the Giants a couple of times. They just happened to be on when I was, you know, watching football or whatever, and Tyrone Tracy looked good. But we never know. Like, coaches will tell you all the time, it's impossible to really get a gauge on a running back or a safety until you put the pads on, which obviously you do in preseason games. But then it's also still hard to tell until the best players are playing. But Tyrone Tracy, at least, now he got banged up, and that hurt the Giants down the stretch.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to play this week. And if he doesn't, that's huge for, I think.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, Devin Singletary looked like the second coming of Saquon Barkley.
I know, but Singletary, since he's been banged up, since he was banged up and missed a couple of games and then come back, he has not been the same impact player.
Well, here's the thing. The big problem that the Giants double-teamed the hell out of the interior.
Yes.
And we couldn't get off a block to save our life.
Well, little bit different now, maybe with Fedarian Mathis and Johnny freaking.
Here comes Johnny.
Newton. All right. Timeout. Also, again, don't forget our first topic of the afternoon was where are we at as a sports town, 1 through 10, both on the field and in terms of fan passion, interest, and pandemonium. Let's get back to that as well. 1 through 10 scale. On the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. The shenanigans that go on in this building during the very short commercial breaks that we have, they ain't Grant and Danny breaks, I'll tell you that much.
You mean commercial breaks? You mean our intermission? You mean our water break?
We're going to pause for 38 seconds.
Yeah.
Let's grab a...
Pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Quick call here before the... Top of the hour. Let's get to Lou, who's been hanging on for a while. Sweet Lou, how are you?
What's up, Lou?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
What's shaking? What's hey, up, Lou. Lou, did you see my guy Benjamin St. Juice blowing stuff up on fourth down? I forgot to razz your ass about that.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. I don't want to talk about what he done good. I want to talk about why he gave up that pass interference.
I knew you were going to counter with that.
Playing 20 yard deep. In the 5 yard, we in the red zone. He's playing drop back like 20 yards. Like he literally like against the whatever. Man, he tripping, man, dude. I mean, look, man. He did one play, but that's all you want to talk about. One play, man. Come on, Chris.
I mean, all you want to talk about is one play.
No, but I'm saying like he gave up that crucial fourth down play.
I know
the team is turning itself around.
You don't play like what is he 10 yard deep and fourth down?
Listen,
in a crucial situation?
I'm not telling you he doesn't make bad plays. For God's sakes, the evidence is written along the wall. He is.
He actually played really well.
I don't want to say he's a boom or bust corner, but he is going to have plays that he is going to look bad on. I got it. But he makes enough plays, in my opinion, And he's a willing enough tackler and a good enough dude, I think.
Don't say
where
don't,
I'm willing
do not,
to
do not put the tackle in there, man. When not don't do that, man. He gave up the other play when like it was I think when
did you not see the fourth and one stop on the edge?
Yeah, I saw Chris. I saw that. That was good. Okay, but he gave up a big play, didn't he?
I'll be honest.
Yes.
And to your credit, Lou, just to poke the bear, if Luvu wasn't hauling ass to the football, that would have been a first down.
I mean, Luvu comes over the top and finishes it.
DJ Moore was pushing Tank Juice the other toward the sticks, Chris.
I
exactly. Look, Chris,
I mean, at that point, then we can't give Luvu credit for Daron Payne's 15-yard loss on a sack, right? I mean, if we're gonna play that game,
it's not a like, game. That's different.
No, I'm saying the credit pie.
I'm just talking about what I see. I'm right. just saying, okay. like, you talk about, you know, he does one play every now and then. Every other, like, three, four, five play, he's getting beat.
Lou.
I mean, giving up.
It's not that. Lou,
if you watch Sunday, he played really well.
I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to put it like this.
Okay.
If this team wants to go deep, they need to add another depth. Number one corner.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you on that.
Damn, Lou, if you cannot.
He is the number one corner, right?
Well, nobody's suggesting that he is.
He's never pretended to be a number one corner. I'll say that. But it's him and Mike, right?
I mean, the other guy, number one.
Lou, real quickly, we could argue about this another day. Real quickly, 1 to 10, where is D.C. as a sports town right here, right now?
Oh, it's up there. It's up there, man. Cavs doing what they're supposed to do. I guess, you know, the new coach, I'm still kind of – you know, sad about Barry Trotz. You know, that was five years ago, six years ago. That was a no-brainer. That's why they've been, you know, because it didn't make sense at the time. You know, this Ted, you know, he just don't know how to own team. Just like, you know, damn. But
I got
whatever.
You. I got
but,
you.
Yeah, it's up there. I appreciate y'all, man.
All right, thank you, Lou. Sorry, we're up way
No number, just it's up there.
It's just so hard to get everybody's calls in and have you and I chime in. 259, Team 980. On the Odyssey app, we go to hour number three. Stay with us.